KFRC 101.9 FM has launched its annual funding drive to raise $25,000 to support station operations, news and creative programming, and upgrades to our recording and performance studios. You can make a difference. Visit CFRC.ca right now and make your gift. Get a tax receipt through Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. More information at CFRC.ca. Thank you for your support.
CFRC 101.9 FM has new social media. Find us on Instagram and Facebook at CFRC Music and keep up with the latest announcements about our programming and projects. Follow us today at CFRC Music.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
The music that they're planning to use to crumble the morals of America is this rotten, filthy, dirty, lewd, lascivious junk called rock and roll.
A weekly hour of 60s underground music from around the world. Retrospect 60s Garage Punk Radio. Great 60s obscurities, podcast via freefm.org.nz and iTunes, and spreading the love via facebook.com/retrospectsgaragepunkradio.
It is noisy, unintelligible, or morally corruptive.
Welcome to episode 645 of Retrospect 60s Garage Punk Show. I'm Phil Gray. Thank you for joining me again for this hourly exploration of obscure 60s garage and proto-psych and garage punk and garage rock and beat music, whatever you want to call it. This week's episode started off with a track familiar to Retrospect fans, I expect, because it's from here in New Zealand. The band was called The Lighty Dars. The track, How Is the Air Up There? But what is different about this track is that it was not my selection this time. This is another guest selector episode, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome my friend Catherine River Sage from West Creek, New Jersey, guest selector for this episode. Catherine, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Phil. I'm really happy to be here.
You have selected all of the tracks for this episode. How come you started with the Lady Does? Don't just say it was to flatter me.
Unfortunately, Phil, that's probably about 9/10 of it. Because I know that you're from New Zealand, and I really wanted to, you know, get one in for New Zealand, but also as a chance to flex sort of how I discovered that song in the first place. Because it wasn't just on like a playlist or anything like that. Well, it kind of was. I listened to another podcast where they were interviewing Hamish from The Queen. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how much he liked the La-Di-Das and described them as a garage band. And I checked them out. Like, I paused the podcast and went and checked them out and really liked them. And it's just sort of cool how, like, other New Zealand folks hype up other New Zealand creators, artists. And Hamish was incredibly talented. It is really sad that he's no longer with us.
Yeah, this is Hamish Kilgore, the late of the great New Zealand band, The Clean, a band I was lucky enough to see live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so fan of the La-Di-Das, another iconic New Zealand band. Together, 63 through to 75. Yeah, great slice of Kiwi proto-punk called How Is the Air Up There?
Hi, I'm Phil Gray, host of Retrospect 60s Garage Punk Show. It's a labor of love. And if you dig what I do, why not buy me a beer? Or just a coffee? You can do that now via buymeacoffee.com/Mr. Phil Gray. That's buymeacoffee.com/MRPHILGREY, Mr. Phil Gray. I may not be able to have a beer or coffee in person, but we can do it virtually. On with the show.
So my guest selector this week is Catherine River-Sage from West Creek, New Jersey. Catherine, another selection from here in New Zealand. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so that was The Pleasers.
Well, actually, I've got to interject here because they're not a New Zealand band. We kind of claim them as a New Zealand band, but they were out of Brisbane, Australia, started as the G-Men, but they came over to New Zealand. They were sort of pulled over here by Eldred Stebbing of New Zealand, famous New Zealand studio, Zodiac Studios. But yeah, tell the story. How come?
So that's a little bit of a sentimental one, actually. So we have my dad's old jukebox over here. He bought a jukebox before he passed, and he had the original 45 of Thou Shalt Not Steal by Dick and Dee Dee, which I think was like a early 60s hit. Dick and Dee Dee were this like husband and wife acoustic duo from over here, so they put that song out in, I want to say, like 61. And a bunch of people covered it. There's Glenda Collins is a famous pop singer that Joe Meek produced. She did a version of it. But when I saw that The Pleasers did a garage version of it, I figured it would sound pretty cool, and it did. And hearing just that song in any format just, you know, makes me think of my dad, and you know, just a little bit chance to get sentimental up in here for a little bit.
Well, in tribute to your dad, this is New Zealand via Australia, or Australia via New Zealand band, The Pleasers, with a Z, Thou Shalt Not Steal.
Yeah. beep beep pop pop bo bo.
Something extra in smoking pleasure.
Retrospect.
Episode 645 of Retrospect 60s Garage Punk Show with my guest selector, Catherine River Sage. Three tracks. Started off with band out of New Zealand or Australia, depending on which camp you're going for. The Pleasers, Thou Shalt Not Steal. Then a band that you can see up on the Retrospect Facebook and Insta right now. They're called the Dearly Beloved. Sometimes they were known as the Beloved Ones and the Dearly Beloveds. Who knows? I know they're out of Tucson, Arizona. Catherine, tell us about the Dearly Beloved and your selection.
Yeah, sure. So the Dearly Beloved, that 45 in particular, was first released on a small base in New Mexico, but encompassing the entire Southwest. The label was called Boyd, and it was released there first in July of 1966. As you sort of alluded to, that the label of the original 45 miscredits them as the Beloved Ones. And that 45 was a big hit all over the Southwest in 66, the summer of 66. So much so that Boyd sold it to Columbia, and they put it out as the Dearly Beloved. And it received some, like, airplay in markets around the country, and I'm pretty sure it charted, but not very high. But what's cool about it is, one, on Dick Clark's American Bandstand, they did, like a jukebox jury-type segment called Raider Record. And that Dearly Beloved song beat Psychotic Reaction by the Count Five. Those were the two records that they had going up against each other, and the kids liked it better than Psychotic Reaction. And then that's another one, actually, that my dad had, the original Boyd 45 for the jukebox. And it's another one that, you know, honestly, it's one of the 45s that really kind of got me into this kind of music, and I don't own it anymore, but I still love the song, and it's all about my dad. That's all it comes down to. It's without him, I probably wouldn't be into any of the music that I'm into, but especially garage.
Super cool. The Dearly Beloved, a track called Peep Peep Pop Pop. Hard to believe that it beat out Psychotic Reaction, but hey, we've got a version of Psychotic Reaction coming up later in the show as well. On to the third and final track in the set. Sort of an iconic all-women band, right? Garage rock classic from The Pleasure Seekers, their first single.
Yeah, if you can believe it, it was actually the B-side of a track called Never Thought You'd Leave Me, originally released on Hideout in March of 66. The Pleasure Seekers, notable for having Susie Quattro.
And her sister, Patty.
And her sister. And, you know, it's just, what can you say? It's an awesome piece of 60s female garage. It's still kind of obscure, but not as obscure as like some of the ones that get comped on those like Ladies of Garage compilations or whatever. And what I think is really cool about that song, and one of the reasons I picked it, is because whenever in the verses you hear the screaming at the end of the verses, that screaming is always occurring over a brand name of a beer. So they'll be like Schlitz, but they'll be screaming over it.
Right.
And that's almost certainly on purpose and almost certainly to avoid copyright. Because I'm pretty sure that Hideout, the label that put it out, didn't want to get in trouble with any of these beer companies for like saying their name, you know, but like without permission or whatever. And they're not advertising for them. So I think that's what the screaming is all about. It's cool when it's, you know, raw and it adds to the edginess of the song, but it's also utilitarian in that it covers up brand names of alcohol. So
and this is the great thing about having guest selectors on this show, is that these stories that I know nothing about get revealed. So thank you for that. Appreciate it enormously. So three great choices: The Pleasers, The Dearly Beloved, and The Pleasure Seekers. It wouldn't be an episode of Retrospect without a healthy dose of global garage. That's what we've got coming up straight after this.
The question is this: do you want your children stimulated and driven into an early, unstable marriage?
Retrospect, 60s Garage Punk radio show and podcast.
Right, it's time for some global garage. And remember, every selection in this episode is from my guest selector, Catherine, who has chosen some stunners. We go to Sweden now for a band out of Stockholm, formed 1963. They're called the Hip Stars.
Yeah, that's their version of Vince Taylor's. I think his version was called Brand New. His song was called Brand New Cadillac. The Hip Stars just called it Cadillac. And that came out April 1965 on a Swedish label called Olga. The big talking point about that one is that recording features a guy named Benny Anderson on lead guitar and keys. And if that sounds familiar, that's because after he left the Hep Stars, he went on to be in a little band called ABBA.
Okay.
And Actually, interestingly enough, towards the end of the Hep Stars, Bjorn was in the Hep Stars as well. And they, so Benny and Bjorn would have played together and wrote together. And I think that's what sort of actually inspired them to leave. But it's interesting to hear, you know, these people who would go on to make these like massive, you know, pop hits of the 70s, you know, they're, you know, they had to do their time in, you know, garage bands and covering, you know, the staples that everybody had to cover, you know, like your average beat group, you know, they did, they worked super hard to get to where they, sure, where they ended up. This is Kaffin River Sage, and I'm delighted to be on the Retrospect Garage Punk Show with Phil Gray, where it's not just the lyrics, it's the beat.
Aunque tú digas que no, te quiero y Gentlemen, we know how to do wrong, but we don't know how to do right.
Retrospect, 60s garage punk, garage rock, and psychedelia.
Three global garage selections from my guest selector, Catherine. Hip Stars with Cadillac out of Sweden, followed by a track out of Mexico from Los Freddy's. Why this selection?
So, okay, that is a Spanish language cover of Born to be Wild by Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
And I first heard that in a mix that this really cool DJ out of Mexico City called Carlos René put together. And Carlos owns a record store in Mexico City called Casa Calypso. And he helps me whenever I need like a cool Mexican garage 7-inch. He's the guy I go to. And that's one that I don't have yet, but it is really good. And I hope to find a decent copy of it very soon.
Yeah. Los Freddy's. So they started out in 1962, high school friends in Guadalajara, Mexico. Throughout their career, they did a bunch of covers, pretty typical of bands in Latin America. Covered Woolly Bully, covered the Beatles' Penny Lane, and others. 1963, they relocated to Tijuana. I guess there were far more gigs there, plenty of bars that would have wanted a band there. So, Los Freddy's with No Puedo Más, cover of Born to Be Wild. Then another classic cover out of Peru with Los Shanes.
Yeah, so it's a cover of Tiny Bradshaw's composition, The Train Kept a Rollin', but it's done like the Yardbirds version.
The Yardbirds.
Yeah. Just a straight Spanish translation. El Tren Pasa Noche literally means like the train basically goes at night.
At night.
But for all intents and purposes, it's basically the same. Los Shines, you know, they were really cool. They started out as more of like a beat group, but then they became more psychedelic. This is off one of their more psychedelic records, actually. It feels somewhat out of place on it.
Didn't they do an album called 67, then an album called 68, then an album called 69, right?
So yeah.
Maybe it's off 69. I seem to remember 69 is the one that tended to have circa 67 style psychedelia on it.
Yeah. I also know that they went through a lot of lineup changes, and the lineup on this recording, it's not like the original lineup, but like the core two members play on it. And it's really good. If you like the Yardbirds version of it, you're going to like this. So.
Which I do. El Tren Pasa Esta Noche. That is a 1968 45 on Odeon del Peru. Actually, B-side of that. A cool selection from Los Shanes.
I've seen the most beautiful farms, most gorgeous things you've ever seen. And then you have these ugly things.
Retrospect, 60s garage punk radio show and podcast.
More global garage, and we're heading back to Mexico with another great selection from Catherine. This one is from Los Belmonts out of Mexico City, part of that first wave of Mexican rock music sung in Spanish. Tell us about your selection from Los Belmonts.
Sure. So Los Belmonts were from Mexico City in the early to mid, and I think they put out some stuff in the late 60s. From Mexico City. That came out in 1966. It was released on an Orfeon 45. It was released on an EP called Amarado. It was released on their LP called Amarado. And Orfeon also saw fit to put it out on an EP called Discotheque Orfeon A Go-Go Volume 2, which has other Spanish language garage beat covers. And a song from Bill Haley and his Comets circa 1966 doing Land of a Thousand Dances with screams, like girls screaming, like edited in over it. And it's really fascinating. Los Belmonts they were one of the, I think, one of the bigger beat bands, bigger, you know, like bands covering 60s songs in Spanish in Mexico. They put out a fair bit of stuff, and I don't know all of it, but it seems really cool, and I really like that song.
Yeah, a fine selection. Here it is. This is Amarado.
Tienes pienso que tal vez me puedas dejar, pero sé que tú no serías así, sé que tú me amas. Amarrado, me llama, amarrado, nena. tal vez me puedas dejar. Pero sé que tú no serías así. Sé que tú me amas.
Sé que tú me amas.
Y siempre lo harás.
Siempre lo harás.
Pues como mis besos.
Como mis besos.
Ya no encontrarás.
No encontrarás.
Me tienes.
Just the lyrics, it's the beat!
Retrospect. 60s garage punk, garage rock, and psychedelia.
There's a girl, there's a girl who lives next door. She's the kind of girl you won't know. She's got everything a man could wrong, but she doesn't know that. She knows I love her so much.
That you need a
means everything to me
is all I want.
There's a girl who's living next door. She's the kind of girl you won't know. She's got everything a man could want, but she doesn't know that. She knows I love her so much.
She
knows I need her so much.
That you need a
means everything to me.
She's all I want.
There's a girl who's living next door. She's the kind of girl you won't know. She's got everything a man could want, but she doesn't know that. But one day I'm gonna make her mine.
Yes, I'm sure.
And sure I'm gonna change that
yes,
mind.
But
she's the kind of girl who won't change so fast. So I start to come and serve from right now. There's a girl who lives next door. She's the kind of girl you won't know. She's got everything a man could want, but she doesn't know that. She knows I love her so much.
She
knows I need her so much.
She
means everything to me.
She's all I want.
There's a girl who lives next door.
She got everything a man could want, but she doesn't know
that. I want to shut these people up. Retrospect. 60s garage punk, garage rock, and psychedelic.
When I'm
it's Retrospect 60s Garage Punk Show, episode 645. This is about the fifth or sixth guest selector episode, but the first with Catherine Riversage out of New Jersey. Chosen some great global garage. We had Los Belmont's Amarado. We talked about that, but then two selections out of India. And I was excited to see these submitted to me. I wasn't immediately familiar with either of these tracks, but the first band, you can see them on our Insta and Facebook right now. They're called The Savages.
Yeah, so The Savages were from Mumbai. That single, Girl Next Door, was released on HMV in 1968. The lineup of The Savages at this time, they had four different lineups. This was the third one of the four. Features Ralph, I think it's Pice, on bass, Hemant Rao on guitar and possibly lead vocals, Basir Sheikh on drums, and Prabhakar Munkar on rhythm guitar. And the B-side of the Girl Next Door single has famous Indian singer Asha Puthley's very first appearance on record. And because of that, this 45 is impossibly expensive.
Right.
And yeah, the A-side is the one for me. It's really good.
Thank goodness for comps. This was on a comp called Getting High in India, giving us all a chance to check out the track. So this is our first selection out of India, The Savages. Followed that up with another track out of India from a band from Bengaluru, India. They are called The Dinosaurs. Another cover.
Yeah, all right. So that's a Trogs cover, actually. I like that version a lot better than the Trogs version. Just gonna start there. And originally, it was released on the Simla Beat record that the Indian Tobacco Company Limited put out in 1970. That's an LP of basically like that Indian Tobacco Company would put on a battle of the bands in 1970 and 1971 as basically a means of advertising their Simla menthol cigarettes to kids. And in researching, I couldn't find what the prize was outside of basically like some money and exposure, which is what all artists work for. And I mean, the fact that the Indian Tobacco Company Limited put on like a two Battle of the Bands in 70 and 71, which it's kind of late, I think, in terms of like by 1970, that's not what music sounded like in the West. But in India, you know, the beat groups and the garage groups were, I guess, still viable in terms of like marketing or of like what the music that the youth would have listened to would have sounded like. So it's cool to see, if nothing else, it's an artifact of the period. And it's, I mean, like I said, it's a ripper. It's a lot better than the Trogs version.
There's a lot of parallels there with like the Zamrock scene, where right into the mid-70s, or certainly 73, 74, the music was still heavily influenced by the likes of Hendrix and James Brown. It sort of, there was a lag, as there was here in New Zealand. You know, we're a long way from anywhere. So there's always a couple of years lag there. But yeah, really interesting, the Indian take on it. The Dinosaurs with You Can't Beat It.
For more great 60s garage punk, find Retrospect wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's an iconic 60s garage rock proto-psychedelia track. It was actually a pretty big hit in its own right. We mentioned it earlier in this episode. I think a couple of episodes ago, during Psychedelic September, we had like this crazy piano version. Did we have this song? Maybe another song off the album. The track is Psychotic Reaction, and Catherine has selected a cover by a guy called Brenton Wood, born Alfred Jesse Smith. What do you know about him?
So he primarily a soul pop singer, so. Primarily. He has two big singles that everybody would probably know, and that's Give Me Little Sign, which is, to me at least, like a staple of like oldies radio, and was a massive hit, so it's understandable. I've heard that song so many times. And the second big song of his is Oogum Boogum, which was used in a bunch of commercials. But I think it was also a sizable hit for him. This version of Psychotic Reaction, though, I think it's really interesting because it's sort of out of what you would expect his wheelhouse to be. I'm thoroughly confident in saying that I don't think it was his idea because he's on... This came out on Double Shot, which is the same label that the Count Five were on. And if you listen super closely with headphones, you would have to pick up on it, for me at least. It's the same instrumental as the Count Five's version, right. But they overdubbed some organ on it to try and differentiate. I'm not sure why, but there is that organ overdubbed over top is over top of Psychotic Reaction by the Count Five. And I'm pretty sure that Double Shot did that in an attempt to capitalize on the success of the Count Five's Psychotic Reaction. They were, I think Brenton was asked to
run
to do a version, but it's also possible that he was a fan.
Yeah.
So.
All right. From his 1967 LP, Oogum Boogum, this is Brenton Wood, Psychotic Reaction.
I want to say a few words to all you young girls out there. Yeah, you're too much. First you try casting your spell on a guy with a little Oogum Boogum Boogum. And if that don't do, you try a little Ookakaboo. And if that don't do, you give him a psychotic reaction. Go something like this.
I feel depressed, I feel so bad. Cause you're the best girl that I ever had. And I can't get your love, I can't get satisfaction.
Everybody do the duck.
Well, there's another band you can see up on the Retrospect Insta and Facebook. They're called The Young Executives. This is a selection of this week's guest selector, Catherine. The Young Executives, this is a really interesting one. Tell us about The Young Executives, because we uncovered a photo of them.
Yeah, we did. I wasn't really able to actually find too much on them at all. Like, I tried to find even, like, a lineup of, like, who played what instrument in this band, and that, I have names, but no, like, or not even names as to who would have contributed, but they must have known somebody pretty cool, because there is a picture of them as kids with Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Actually, that photo, that's the photo that's up on our Insta and Facebook. They were young, but they signed to
Mercury.
They obviously had contacts. They also guested on a bunch of American TV shows, at least some of which I'm familiar with, American Bandstand, Hullabaloo, and Shindig.
I wasn't able to find any footage of any of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, an interesting one. So The Young Executives on Mercury from 1965, we had the track Everybody Do the Duck, which getting dangerously close to novelty track territory, but a cool track nonetheless.
Yeah, but it's a stomper, Phil. Come on.
I'll give you that. Okay. Catherine River Sage out of New Jersey, USA, has been my guest selector this week. Been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and thank you for bringing some variety, some tracks not heard on the show before. Really appreciate that. I'm going to let you talk about our final track, but before that, I'd like you to talk a little bit about, you have a little bit of radio experience. Tell us a little bit about that and the opportunity you've got coming up.
Sure. So in 2022, I DJed for one of WFMU's online streams, WFMU being the massively famous freeform radio station. And I did maybe 6 months of shows online for them. Mm-hmm. And this upcoming December 14th, I'm going to be doing what's known as a drop-in with them, where it's a different person that hosts a show every week. And December 14th, it's my turn. I get to play essentially whatever I want for an hour. And it's going to be fun. And I can't wait.
Cool. And remind me at the time, send me a link and I'll share that by the Retrospect Facebook page as well. The other thing I want to quickly ask you about is, you work in New Jersey, but you have an online retail business where you sell a few records. Tell us about that side of your life.
Sure. So there's an Instagram and a Discogs page. The Instagram @SquaredCircleNJ. Mm-hmm. And the Discogs link is there. And from time to time, not so much since I've been working, I sell records. If anyone wants to take a look at the Discogs shop, see if there's anything that catches their eye, that would be
great. Squared Circle Records, which you need to look for.
The Instagram is @SquaredCircleNJ.
Tell us about your final selection for this week's Retrospect.
Sure. So it's the finest Japanese surf guitarist of them all, Takeshi Terauchi, and the best backing band he ever had, in my opinion, Bunnies. Mm. And it's pretty standard fare for him. It's a really rockin' surf instrumental in the Japanese tradition. And once you listen to it, you'll see why he's regarded as, the king of surf guitar over there, comparable to our Dick Dale, and for my money, probably even better than Dick Dale.
This guy could really shred. I mean, the music may at times sound quite quaint, a lot of it, coming out of that Japanese aleki tradition, but he was the bona fide thing. He was right on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Great selection. Takeshi Terauchi and Bunnies. The track is called Ken Jincho, out of Japan, obviously. That's it for this week's Retrospect 60s Garage Punk Show. Remember, there are lots and lots of back episodes. If psychedelia is your thing, there's all of the Psychedelic September episodes. If you go hunting through the archives far enough, which you can find, particularly on the Retrospect Facebook page, you'll find some other guest selected episodes, but there hasn't been one like this. Because my guest this week, Catherine River Sage, out of New Jersey, USA, part of the world I'm visiting in the not-too-distant future. Thank you so much for being part of Retrospect, Catherine.
Yeah, Phil, thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Pleasure's all mine. And we will hear from you again in the future. I'm certain of that. That's Retrospect 645, over and out.